If you want to hear about the opportunities that we are presenting to our investors, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club. We scour for the best opportunities and present those only to folks inside the club, and that is the only way you'll hear about our deals and what we're working on. We'd love for you to be a part. Again, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club.
I would be working a 9-to-5 job, and I wouldn't be talking to you right now if it weren't for networking and the power of it.
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
I think anytime we can listen to someone who is really taking what they know and putting it into practice, it's somebody we should listen to. Patrick Menefee is one of those people who, in just a little over a year's time, has built a $1.2 million portfolio of small multifamily properties. He founded a company in 2019 called InvestDGP. He's also created an educational platform for real estate investors and entrepreneurs. As a real estate investor who is forging his own path with the help of countless people, books, materials, and resources, the goal of InvestDGP is to give back to the community and help others the way he has been helped. Hey, Patrick, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you very much. Looking forward to being here.
Man, or happy to be here. Yeah, absolutely. No, this is great. Glad to have you on. I'm excited to hear kind of your story. If you can give us a brief kind of rundown of where you started, where you are now, and how you got there.
Yeah, absolutely. So taking it back a few years, I was formerly in the Army after I graduated college at ROTC at Iowa State University. And then after I went active duty, was an infantry officer. So obviously, as an infantry officer, that has a huge relevance in the real estate space.
Sure.
Not a lot, but a lot of lessons learned that carried over. After I left the Army, I moved into the corporate world. I moved into consulting, working with one of the Big Four. And then from there, I spent a very brief time working at a bank before just recently, actually 1 month ago today, a full-time business in real estate. So started investing along the way about a year and a half ago. Really, it all kicked off kind of with my first property that I bought as the, I mean, it wasn't like a house hack or anything like that. I just bought it and I lived in it. But that kind of got the ball rolling. And then within about 4 months, 5 months, I had my first couple of properties. And I did that while working full-time, while traveling. And so the first properties, everything that I did, everything that I focused in, we can get into more of this a little bit later. But everything that I did was small multifamily at the time. And so I took that over about from the time that I closed on the first rental property, which was September 13 of last year, 2019, leave my job. And it's not, I can go into that in terms of lessons learned down the road. That's one of the things that I learned was kind of the definition of financial freedom being a little bit different than I expected. But it's been a great path to get there. And I've now shifted into flipping as well. So that's what my business is kind of centered around now.
Right. That's awesome. And not that assets under management really mean anything, because for some folks that can just be, you know, more of a burden than a help. But where are you today, just for perspective, in, you know, 13, 14 months, like what's your portfolio look like today?
So right now I have 21 rental. Well, all these numbers will change by the time this podcast probably goes live. But right now I have 21 rental spans, 9 properties, multifamily, plus then my old primary residence that I've now turned around and rented out. And then I have 2 flips that are on. So they're all small multifamily. Total value of the portfolio is around, I think, 1.2, 1.3 million or something like that. And that's not, you know, not net worth based on that. There's sure. Plenty of leverage and stuff like that in there too. But that's about the asset size.
Right, right. And that's hey, man, in a year's time to just kind of, you know, build your way up to $1.2 million in assets under management that you own, kind of do it on the DIY path. It's pretty impressive. So don't discount that, I wouldn't say. Are you looking, as you scale, you said small multifamily, so you got 21 units across 9 properties. Are you looking to grow? Like what's next for you? Is it more, you know, duplexes and triplexes? Is it quadplexes? Is it going to bigger multifamily? Like what's the future look like for you?
So it's been it's a very interesting time that you asked that, because I've done a lot of reflection and a lot of planning over the past couple months, but really the last probably month and a half in particular, and kind of narrowed the focus of my business. I think, so initially part of the way that I got to where I am and part of the way that I built my portfolio was through a lot of partnerships. I did the first deal by myself, the first 4 units. All of that one was 100% on my own. I mean, I used financing, but the rest of them, units 5 through 20, I did with partners. And then my 2 flips I have partners with. What I learned from that is I wouldn't be here be here without the partnerships, and partnerships are incredibly valuable. And I will continue to utilize them, but I will not utilize them, at least for now, until I get into bigger properties, bigger syndications and stuff like that. I won't utilize them in the buy and hold space. I've now changed my focus to flipping in order to build a business around that. So I have essentially two different paths right now. One is building my flipping business, and really I'm starting from the very front of the funnel and ramping up my marketing and getting that entire actual true business in place. That's one path. And then the second path is taking the proceeds from that as they come, and as I have some that I'm not reinvesting and whatnot, and directing those into my own personal investments, buy and hold, multifamily, small multifamily. Eventually, someday, I will move into some bigger stuff. Right now, I like the smaller multifamily space, but I'll kind of pick those up as time and as funds allow, with the primary focus being the business that I'm building.
Right, right. And it's interesting that you call that a business. Most people would say I'm a real estate investor, you know, on the residential side, and I flip homes. It's like, well, it's not investing, you're building a business. So, you know, that's very different than you investing in, you know, income producing properties. So
yeah, it's been one of the biggest realizations and lessons of my business so far is, I mean, I think you hear a lot, and when people are getting started or when people are talking, whether it's gurus or podcasts or whatever it is, you hear people talking about treating your business like a business versus treating it like a hobby. I think there's a couple of key points to understand, one of which is real estate. If you're truly building it and you want it to be a business, it operates just like any other business. You need to have marketing, you need to have CRM, you need to have sales, have the back end processes with financing, with logistics, all those types of things. All of that stuff has to come together. I mean, when you're flipping or when you're rehabbing, there's inventory managers, there are all of the core principles of a business are there. And then there's kind of the breaking point for me, or one of the big epiphanies that I had, was that there's a spectrum. And so you've got where everybody sees there's treating it like a hobby and treating it like a business. I think there's an in-between. I'm sorry, I just said my connection was unstable. Did it cut out again?
Right, right. And so, you know, obviously I think probably your military background kind of helps you, you know, systematize, I'm not sure what the right word is, but yeah, what you're doing. Have you seen any of that translate over?
I have. I think there are a number of things, and I think it's some of it that, for any of the veterans that are listening, I think it's stuff that you can easily take for granted. There are things that on a daily basis, whether you're, you know, dealing with the latest change that came down and everything you've been working on for the past 2 weeks has now changed, dealing with the stress, dealing with the variability and all that kind of stuff. And then the systems and having the structure and all that kind of thing. I think it really does help. And it you don't necessarily realize it at the time. You don't necessarily think the skills are transferable, but they really do. If you apply them and you think about the training that you have and you think about what you've kind of built your career on, it really does help you if you choose to apply it.
Right, right. So outside of the military, who are some sources, or what are some sources that you're using that are really helping you develop those systems?
I think a couple of big things. I do a lot of just learning in general, whether it's podcasts, I read a lot of books. I think those are the two biggest ones that I spend a lot of time just actively learning. And then the second piece to it is accountability and having a network and having a group. So I started, even before I bought my first investment property, I started up both a meetup as well as a group here of investors in the area. And we, you know, threw together people on the GroupMe chat and find people that were on bigger pockets and, you know, they were in the local in the Charlotte area. And so I'd start talking to them, really compile everybody. And now we've got a group of about 150 local investors, and not everybody's active. There's some that are, some that aren't, but having that core group of people, or having that large group of people, has led to a core group of people that I talk to on a daily basis, or I talk to on a weekly basis. And so everything is mine. Real estate is mine. My business, the conversations that I'm having on a regular basis are about these types of things. They're about the systems that they're putting in place, that I'm putting in place, the challenges we're having. And all of that really helps keep the business continually progressing forward. And I think that kind of thing applies, whether it's, you know, commercial real estate, residential real estate, whether you've got one person or whether you've got a business of 50 people, it's very important.
What do you say to somebody? Like, I think the one is very courageous of you to say, hey, I'm going to start a real estate meetup, and I've owned exactly zero pieces of real estate. So, you know, what do you say to somebody, you know, who has that kind of, I'm going to call it fear, because it's what it is, like, hey, you know, I don't want to step out because I'm the new kid on the block. Like, I don't know, like, what do I have to offer? So how did you overcome that again? I think you just gave us the keys to that, but you worked around that. You had to work around from it. So what was that?
One of the biggest things that you have to realize is that Someone recently said and made a very good point that with a lot of real estate, there's, at least as a starting point, there's kind of a low barrier to entry. A lot of it, you can essentially accelerate past the herd if you take action. I think kind of the wake-up call for me was when I got my first property under contract, my first rental property under contract. I went to a meetup that day, and I'd gone to very few. I think it was only the second that I'd been to, because they were always, you know, I was traveling Monday through Thursday, and they were always during the week. And so I went to that first one, and I was so excited because I had, or the second one, and I was so excited because I had my property under contract. And I started talking to someone about it, and the guy looks at me, and he's got this big smile on his face, and he's like, dude, that's amazing. You're like the most experienced person here now. And I was like, oh, that's not what I want. You know, there's the whole, if you're the smartest person in the room, you're in the wrong room kind of thing.
Correct.
So that it was kind of a combination of that, wanting to be around like-minded people that were actually taking action, and then also, or that wanted to take action and were truly going to commit to what they said. That, and then it was kind of out of necessity. I mean, I couldn't go to meetups, and the only way that I could go to one is if I don't. And so it, you know, they say necessity is a mother of invention kind of thing. Combining those two really helped, and it led to a good group of people that we could all hold each other accountable, and we were taking action and moving forward from month to month too, which was great.
Right. Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. So now you've grown that meetup. Is this an online meetup then?
No, we were doing it in person up until COVID. It's been on pause. So we'll, you know, when it picks back up, we'll kind of see. But I've kind of taken a couple of different approaches now. I think, you know, no matter what you're doing, if you want to get together with people and you want to work with like-minded people, you can. I'm very active on Instagram and trying to communicate with people and network with people and share lessons learned and all that kind of stuff. And in the process, starting up an online accountability group that way too, through Zoom calls and that kind of thing. So it's the meetup. I'm looking forward to picking that back up when we can get back together again. But there's always ways to network and get together.
Right. So it sounds like building your network has really been one of the keys to your success.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's how I got, what I mentioned before, I started my business with the first, you know, 16 out of 20 units were built through partners. And one of those deals that was actually the commercial one that was three duplexes, the equity from that deal, from the value out of that deal, is what's funding all my flips now. I have a line of credit that's funding my flips. And that was from a partner. And so networking, I mean, I would be working a 9-to-5 job and I wouldn't be talking to you right now if it weren't for networking and the power of it.
Right, man. That's awesome. That's awesome. Good for you in just a few short months time for really charging out there and making something of it. I mean, a lot of guys have, you know, slowed down what they're doing in 2020 just because their fear of they don't know where it's going. So yeah, you're getting out there and getting things done. So this is awesome. If you were to distill everything you know down to one piece of advice, and you're giving that to, I guess, an aspiring investor or to yourself a year ago, what would that one piece of advice be?
I would, I might cheat a little bit and combine two pieces, if that's okay.
Go for it.
I think one is you need to have the why. You need to have the purpose that you're driving to. You need to have your goals that you're moving forward. And then combine that with the kind of that spectrum that I was talking about and knowing where you're at on that spectrum. You know, if you're at the point where you're just getting started, but you know that you want a, call it $1 million business, you know that you need to fully build it and treat it like a business. And so you figure out where you're at on that scale and then figure out how to accelerate your timeline in order to get to the, essentially to the third step as quickly as possible. Knowing what the end goal is, knowing where you're at in the process, and then accelerating as fast as possible to get there.
Right. That's awesome. What's one thing you're currently doing to stay on top of your game?
Accountability and networking is a lot of it. I think some of it is personal accountability. Every morning I will go and write down in my journal and talk about, you know, what I'm thankful for, what I'm working on, and what my goals are. And then every week I'll go through and I'll look at what I need to get done for the week, for both managing what I currently have in my portfolio and then managing how I want to grow, what my acquisitions are, what my business looks like, how marketing looks, all that kind of stuff. So I kind of map those two out at the beginning of the week. And then I drive towards them each day with kind of a daily to-do and daily task.
Man, that's awesome. That's awesome. Good for you for being so disciplined with that. When it comes to investing in the world, what's one thing you're doing to make the world a better place?
Education is a big part of it, and giving back. I think as I move forward with my business, the long-term goals, I have a lot of long-term goals that are around kind of the, it sounds kind of nebulous when you say it, but giving back aspect. But in the meantime, while I'm working towards that, it's sharing the lessons that I've learned, sharing the, you know, the lessons that have cost me time, money, blood, sweat, tears, all of that, sharing that with everybody, and then also being actively seeking out people that can actually help bring to where I am and help them get through the pain points that I've had over the past year.
Right. No, man, if you can shorten somebody else's learning curve and save them money and time, you're doing the world a favor. So that's awesome, man.
Learned plenty of painful lessons. So.
Haven't we all? If our listeners want to get in touch with you, what's the best way to do that?
Instagram's a great way. My Instagram handle is @InvestDGP. My website is www.InvestDGP. You can email me, Patrick@InvestDGP.com. And then you can find me on Facebook, LinkedIn.
Patrick, thanks so much for your time and coming on today, man. It was a pleasure interviewing you. And yeah, I certainly appreciate it.
Yeah, it's been fun. I really appreciate it. Thanks for the invite.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen. If you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much, and hope to catch you on the next episode.